That's a mighty shallow wound. You got anything left?
I'm close to you. Don't you love him? Has he been good to you? You're doing good. We're almost having church. You're just about to get through the turkey slump. But you're doing good. I appreciate your worship and your faithfulness and the anointing of God I feel in the house tonight. We're going to go back to a text from this morning, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. We'll continue in a study of Matthew chapter 7. Praise God. The December calendars are out in the foyer. There are flyers out there for revival next Sunday with Brother Keith Clark. We'll have flyers shortly for Brother Jonathan Stringfellow for the Sunday after. And we're going to defy convention and run headlong toward revival during the holidays. We want to give God praise for the two that went down in Jesus' name this morning. Well, praise God. Brother Heath, I believe God can give you the Holy Ghost tonight. I really do. Just anytime you're ready. Now, this brings back memories. I was sitting right where you were sitting, and the guy was preaching about, I'm not really sure what. But he said, anytime you hear that still small voice, you stand to your feet, lift your hands and begin to pray, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Well, that was totally unconventional for me because I was raised in a sleepy Southern Baptist church. But I felt it and I heard it and I stood up in the middle. It was the most outrageous thing I'd ever done. Well, it wasn't the most outrageous thing I'd ever done, but it was outrageous for church. And I lifted up my hand, and when I opened my eyes, I had guys all around me with their socks on the pews. They were standing on the pews all around me. My wife's cousin was on the other end of the pew. And in about 10 or 15 seconds, we both had the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. God can do that for you tonight. You'll know you got the Holy Ghost because you'll begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And everybody that has the Holy Ghost, touch your neighbor and tell them, I talk in tongues, don't you? Hallelujah. 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 Could somebody act like you and get the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4 and 7. And everyone say, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, as we're making our way through the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it is a movement from doing to being, and it is instruction on being without it being tempered or shaped by the people around you or the social or cultural influence around you, but rather drawing from your sense of identity that God has breathed into you. You can live in a bad neighborhood spiritually and still live for God. You can be in captivity and still live for God. You can have a household that doesn't believe nothing, but you can still live for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. These Beatitudes are about being. It's about, and then the doing. But between the being and the doing in chapter 7, we're looking at knowing. Knowing and understanding. And you can be seated and clap your hands and lift your voice and give God some praise for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, O God. We praise your name. We lift you up. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Brother G.R., do you remember when God healed you of the heel spurs? You remember the prayer that you prayed? See, I remember the story that you told. The testimony. But it's always so much better if it's authentic. Just prayed a simple prayer and said, God, I know you can, and I sure would appreciate it if you would. And he was in the shape where he could hardly walk, could hardly stand. And in the morning when you got up, I'm just remembering what you told me about it. 6 years of it. And instantly, God took those things out of his body, gave him relief, gave him healing for that. Well, praise God. I like it better when you tell it, because you tell it a lot better. Praise God. God, I know you're able. And if you will, I know you can. And I sure would appreciate it. Anybody in the house, you have something you need God to do. I mean, you need God to take care of some business for you. We're talking about knowledge and understanding and coming to God in knowledge, knowing what God will do and knowing what God is capable of. Hosea 4 and 6, the prophet says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. There's a sequence here. It is being first, identity formation first, then knowing and understanding, and then doing. There is a premium in the word of God on knowing and doing. And when you're talking about the things of God, you're talking about revelatory knowledge. You're talking about Simon Peter and Jesus in Matthew 16 when he says, Simon, flesh and blood hath not shown this to you. You didn't get this from a man, but my Father, the Spirit of the living God, has spoken this unto you. And Zechariah is the voice of God saying, it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now, I want to know how many of you have heard from God before. You have literally heard God speak into your mind or your spirit. I don't mean you've heard an audible voice, but you've heard instruction or you've heard information, or God gave you something that you didn't have a rational, natural means of knowing. Praise God. That's the kind of knowledge that we're talking about. And that's what Jesus is teaching about, among other things, in this seventh chapter of Matthew. In 5 and 6 and 7 this morning, we were talking about differentiating between judgment, having a judgmental attitude like the Pharisees, and making biblical judgments. The Bible doesn't tell you not to be a judge. It just encourages you not to be like the Pharisees, because you can't walk without making judgments every day. And you've got to know what's right and what's wrong and how to live before God. What's good and bad, what has value and what is beautiful in the kingdom of God. You need to know the difference between a hog and a dog. And if you don't understand that, come to me afterwards and I'll tell you. But he said, cast not your pearls before swine. And he said, don't give the holy things to dogs. And he's talking about people. And so you've got to be able to make those differentiations. You've got to evaluate. And you do that based on the word of God. You have to know that the kingdom of God is a reciprocal kingdom. As you give, so is it given back to you. If it's mercy, you get mercy. If it's kindness, you get kindness. Forgiveness, you get forgiveness. For with the meat that you measure out with, it'll be measured back to you again. If you use a thimble in kindness, God's going to pour out thimblefuls on you. But if you pour out all you can on others, then God is going to pour. That's what that means. You need to know that to prepare you to walk through life. Praise God. You need to know the kingdom dynamics. And you need to know yourself. More about yourself than you do about your brother. And that was the teaching about get the beam out of your own eye before you try to get the mote out of your neighbor or your brother's eye. So these are things you need to know and understand. And we're going to move on in chapter 7 tonight. There are things about the kingdom of God that I need to know and understand. Chapter 7 and beginning with verse 13. Everybody say, enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. The kingdom of God is never where the multitude is. If you want to be down at the ball stadium, that's where the multitude is. But that's not where the kingdom of God is. If you want to be where the Hollywood set is, that's where the kingdom of God is not going to be found. I'm not telling you, you can't have a lot of people living for God. But I am telling you, the multitude is always outside the ark. Don't try to seek affirmation in numbers. You won't live for God. It's always going to be a powerful handful living, really living for God. Well, praise God. The gate is straight. The gate to destruction is wide. The way that leads to destruction is broad, and there's where the multitude is going. But verse 14, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads. It has this air of exclusivity to it. It cordons it off to the fact that you've got to make decisions to get in there. You can't have a lot of baggage hanging on to you if you're going to get through that straight and narrow. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If anybody told you you can live any way you want to live and still please God, they lied to you. If anybody told you you can be just like this world and live for God, they lied to you. There's a prescription in this word of God for a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. And that's what you need to know and understand. There's some things that we need to know and understand. The criteria for the kingdom of God is always narrow and exclusive, and the number is always small. Praise God. You need to know that. You need to understand that. Because David said, I saw the prosperity of the wicked and my foot almost slipped. I saw how they were living. And then he said, I got reoriented and I remembered the house of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 24. And we're moving on into the latter part of this chapter. And let's go to verse 15. Someone say, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, But inwardly, they are ravening wolves. Your greatest danger, Jesus is teaching here on knowledge and understanding. And he gives you the converse. He says, because knowledge and understanding is so very important to you tonight. He said, the thing that can do you the most damage is false knowledge. He said, beware of wolves that come to you in sheep clothing. They look like the church. They might sound like the church. They've got a nice attitude, but down on the... Listen to me. If anybody comes to you telling you, well, we don't need all that, and we don't need to do all that, and that's not for today. That was long ago passed by. If they tell you the Holy Ghost is not for today, you get away from them. If they tell you that baptism has changed in 2,000 years, you get away from them. My elder brother James said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now they can tell you that that has changed. But Jesus in this passage is telling you, if you really want to know what the greatest danger is, the thing that he wants to warn you about here is within context, because he's teaching you about knowledge and understanding. And he says, beware of false prophets. What does a true prophet tell you? He tells you what thus saith the word of God. What thus, everybody say, what thus saith the word of God. The only thing that matters is what the word of God says, Brother David. That's what you need to have written in your heart. That's what you need to have stamped into your mind. The only thing that matters is what the word of God says. If somebody comes to you and they begin to edit the word of God, take pages out of the word of God. I wish I had an old black book here that looked like a Bible tonight. I'd start tearing out pages, throwing them at you. That's what a false prophet does. He edits the word of God. And they come in sheep's clothes. So Jesus is warning you about that. And it follows immediately thereafter. It follows that many are going to come to me in that day, beginning in verse 21, saying, Lord, Lord. And in verse 22, they're going to say, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out? They're in the religion business. They are involved in carrying a Bible. They are speaking the language to some degree. But in this scenario, they say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We've done many mighty works in your name. Lord. And he says, depart from me. Verse 23. I never knew you. Everybody say knowledge and understanding. There's some things you need to know. You need to know that the multitude is not going to be representative of the kingdom of God. You need to know that the greatest danger is something that's going to undermine your experience in the kingdom of God. Why do we insist on home Bible studies? You've got to know. You've got to understand the word of God. Why do we insist on that growth class? You've got to know. You've got to understand the word of God. Why do we spend 3 services a week plowing through the heartland of the word of God? You've got to know it. You've got to understand this. It's the only thing that can support your house, that you can build your family upon. And therein we come to the final part of the 7th chapter. Chapter 7, and beginning in verse 24. Therefore, everybody say, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This indicates knowledge. This indicates understanding. You're building a house on the word of God. You're not building it after the dictates of a godless culture. You're not building it by the manner and the lifestyle of a fluid society. You're not building it after earthly, worldly, temp temporal heroes and advocates. You're building it on what thus saith the word of God. Honey, we're not going there because the word of God says it. We're not living like that because the word of God says that. We're not, but Sally does those things. Well, we're not doing those things because of what the word of God says. I want it to be the word of God in Deuteronomy when he's teaching them how to raise their children. He said, make it like a frontlet between your eyes. Write it on your sleeves. Write it on the doorpost. Tell them when you sit down. Tell them when you stand up. Tell them when you're walking in the way with them. There is nothing in this world that'll save your soul but the word of God. It is the expressed will and desire and purpose of God. How can I know and do the will of God? Praise God. He said, if you do these things, you're a wise man. How many in the house want to be wise? Touch your neighbor and tell him that wisdom comes from the word of God exclusively. He said, it's like a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. How many of you want to build your house on the rock? Touch your neighbor and say, that rock is the word of the living God. Well, praise God. Verse 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. Well, I thought if I did everything according to the word of God, nothing negative was ever going to happen to me. No, sweetheart, it doesn't matter if you live for God or worship the devil. The storm's going to come to your life. The rain is going to fall and the floods are going to come and the wind is going to blow like a tempest upon your life and it beat upon the house. But here's the catchphrase, it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. Somebody say praise the Lord. Anybody in the house had a storm in your life? Anybody ever been through some things that could blow you down, but you found yourself rooted and built upon the rock of the word of God? Sometimes it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face, but you can feel that rock under your feet. Sometimes it's blowing so hard you can't hardly stand up, but you can feel that rock under your feet. Praise God. I think it was you, Sister Linda, came to my wife a few years ago and told her, you're going to have some storms in your life. Thank you very much. You know, storms come to everybody. Some of them you can see, and some of them you never know about. But they come. And they blow and they rage. And we're glad when they're gone. And we all smile nervously when we're talking about this. And we're a little bit checked in our worship response. Because you're afraid if you stand and go, yes, that another storm will come. And you'll get to prove that faith again. Praise God. Anybody in the house know it was the word of God that kept you through the storm? Praise God. I've seen people turn loose of the church, walk away from the truth, step down off the stone and try to make it their own way. And their parting word was, I have so much trouble because I'm trying to live for God. Or all this trouble is coming because I'm trying to live for God. If I could just get away from that Bible and from that preacher and from that church and from all of that, then my life would be okay. But you know what the shocker of the century is? It's that when you get away from the word and you get away from the church and you get away from all the confines and you can bury yourself in a bar room or in a drug house or in the pleasures of the world, or just a good hiding place of intellectual hiding, I want you to know the storm still comes. The rain still rages. Praise God. And everyone, verse 26, that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house on the sand. The difference between wise and foolish is knowledge and understanding. They both build houses, one on the rock because of the dictates, because they knew and understood the word of God, another on sand because he didn't really understand and he didn't really know and he wasn't really well versed in the word of God. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Praise God. These are some things you need to know. I want everything in my life built on the word of God. I want everything in my life vetted by the word of God. I want to hold it up to the light of God's revelatory word. And if it doesn't pass the test of the word, I don't want it in my life. Well, praise God. I want my house structured and filtered, and I want my decisions to be made based on the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now that's knowledge and that's understanding. We worked on it here this morning and a little bit this evening. And I'm not going to keep you long because you still got toxic turkey in your bloodstream. If I kept you till 8:30, you'd start nodding off and having dreams of leftover dressing. You could taste it and... So I'm going to work with you where you are. Praise God. Then we move out of chapter 7 with a last note. 28 and 29, it came to pass. This is the multitude that was gathered round the mountain for chapter 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having, everyone say, authority. And not as the scribes. The word of God is the final source authority. This is the authority. I understand there are other areas of life that where other types of expertise are involved and used. But when you're making decisions about home and family and life and lifestyle, you always go to the word of God. It is the final source authority. Chapter 8, he's coming down off the mountain and great multitudes are following him in verse 1. And in verse 2, a leper comes and worships him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Chapter 5 began as the multitudes gathered round him out of the latter portion of chapter 4. And he was healing everybody in the crowd. This leper had been there for the teaching, but this leper had also been there for the healing. And he comes with his own situation. I don't know why he wasn't able to get there to the point of contact before. That's the nature of a multitude. But he makes his way to Jesus now. And he says, look, I'm obviously a leper. And you obviously can heal me. I know that you can heal me if you will. Somebody say praise the Lord. He brought his need to somebody that he knew had the power to heal that body. Now, how many of you here understand and know that God is still a healer? How many of you believe that God is still a provider? Is there anybody here that really believes that God is yet a way maker? Can somebody shout a little bit if you believe that God is still a deliverer of both body and soul? If you know this and understand it, give your neighbor a high five and tell him, my God can do anything. I said he can do anything. Shake him a little and say, my God can do anything. My God, do you really believe that? Don't have any music going on in the house right now at all. Don't have any big rah, rah, rah going on in the house right now. But if you're sick in your body, or you need a healing, or you need provision, or you need deliverance, I want you to come down to this altar right now. stand right here. And I want somebody that believes it with you to stand on this step and lay their hand on you right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And I want you to pray that prayer that that leper prayed. Pray it right now. This is knowledge and understanding. Pray the prayer the leper prayed. You can heal me if you will. You can provide for me if you will. You can deliver me if you will. I need some more people up here to pray for these that have come. And Jesus said, I will. And Jesus said, I will. And Jesus said, I will. I want you to begin to worship him right now. If you need healing, begin to worship him as the healer. If you need provision, begin to worship him as the source and provision. If you need a way maker, I want you to begin to worship him as a way maker. If you need deliverance, begin to worship him. Praise you for healing. I praise you for healing. I praise you for deliverance. I praise you for a way where there was no way. My God, I need somebody to talk in tongues with authority right now. Holy Ghost all up in this house right now. Young man's praying for the Holy Ghost right now. If you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to pray in tongues right now. Let that Holy Ghost flow through you. Cause it to cloud up in here. While you're praying, lay your hand on somebody or take somebody by the hand. Just keep right on pressing in. Press on in. He said he'd give the Holy Ghost to all those that ask him. Ha! I need somebody to begin to talk in tongues with authority. Take dominion here. We're breaking down some walls. praise for pouring out the Holy Ghost. The Lord. And if you're locked up in prayer, just go right on. But we need it. We need Brother Heath to get the Holy Ghost before we went any further. I'm almost done with you. Brother Randy, scroll us on down. Take us to verse 5. And after he left the leper, he met a centurion at Capernaum. And the centurion came to this Jewish teacher. The centurion is a Gentile. And he comes and he says, "My servant is grievously sick. He's about to die on me." And Jesus, go ahead, Brother Randy. And again. And Jesus said, "Where is he? Let's go. I'll come." He was ready to go to the man's house. But the next verse, the man said, "I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof." He said, "But look, I'm a man under authority." Now you remember, the last verse of chapter 7 was, "For he taught them not as the Pharisees, but he taught them as one having authority." Everybody say authority. Touch your neighbor and say, "God holds all authority." Tell your neighbor, "All power in heaven and in earth is in that name." Tell them, "When I call on that name, demons tremble. Disease has to leave." Anybody believe that? The centurion said, "I am a man under authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And another one, to come, and he comes. And I tell my servant to do this, and he does it." And verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Because that man was saying, "All you have to do is just say the word. All you have to do is just speak it. You don't have to physically be where I am. All you've got to do is just say the word, and it's going to happen." Jesus said, "I haven't found this kind of faith in all Israel." And look at what he says. In 11, he says that people are going to come from the east and the west. He's talking about Gentiles, talking about the church. And they're going to sit down with Abram and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Go ahead, Brother Randy. But the children of the kingdom who have it by birth, or they have it by association, or they had it and they long since forgotten it. He said, they're going to be cast down to outer darkness. And the difference is understanding and knowledge. This man knew that Jesus had authority to just speak it, and the angels would go forth and accomplish the will of God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to pray that prayer again tonight now. And I want you, come on. I want you to come into his presence with worship here for just a moment. Just begin to praise him and magnify him just for a moment. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Mighty God, we're the ones you talked about. We're the ones that you went out into the highways and byways to find. We're not worthy, God, that you come into our home. We're not worthy of any of the goodness of God. But we know, God, that you have authority. My God, if you need healing tonight, I want you to pray this prayer. I know you've got authority over my sickness. If you have a need tonight, pray. I know you've got authority over my need. Come on, I want you to take that to him right now and tell him all you got to do is speak the word, oh God. And about that hour, about that same time, something began to happen to that servant in that house far away. Something began to move on him, and it was the authority of God moving with somebody with knowledge and understanding. I think somebody wants to dispatch the authority of God to someone else tonight. Go ahead and take the liberty and do that right now. What you're doing, you're sending angels out to do the work of God. But don't worry about talking to angels. Just talk to God and use the name of Jesus. God, send your authority to Shirley Corey tonight. God, send your authority to Jimmy Green tonight. God, send your authority to our loved ones and our families tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to just turn right now. I want you to lay your hands on somebody by you. And I want you to pray an apostolic prayer for them. Pray anointing and strength and blessing and goodness. God, mighty God, send your authority to the Averys tonight. Mighty God, let your authority cover Brother Kedry, Brother Jamie and their family tonight. Jesus. 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 Let's just give him a little bit of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God confirms his word with signs. We don't follow after the signs. Signs follow the church. But I can see Brother French as clear as a bell standing here. And when he's preaching, he's talking about the enemy fighting against this revival and this church family. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the devil and what he does, because it's inconsequential. But I just want you to revisit the words of that preacher, prophet, teacher. And he mentioned that God was about to do something here that we had been waiting for a long time. That he was about to do the most outrageous thing that he had ever done here. And immediately on Monday and Tuesday, we had two notable signs, two notable miracles. I just want to tell you that's continuing in this altar tonight. It's continuing. You're going to walk out of this house tonight and you're going to begin to see already the difference that the authority of God makes because of your prayer in the house tonight. Some of you have already received healing in your body tonight. It's already moving. It's already moving right now. God's moving in lives right now, in homes right now. by the power of His promise, by the power of His authority. Mighty God, praise God, praise God. Can we just love Him a little bit here? Hallelujah. 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 We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Love You, mighty God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Isn't it good? Isn't it great to live in the kingdom of God? God bless you. You want to share your love and your victory with one another? Be in prayer for your church family that's still traveling, those that are troubled in their bodies. There's an elders team tonight in the prayer room right now. God bless you. Appreciate you. So good to see Brother Heath filled with the Holy Ghost tonight.